Our scripture passage this morning comes from Luke 24, and we'll be looking at verses 13 to 35, and our text will be specifically verse 32. So Luke 24, starting at verse 13. It's a familiar story. It's the Road to Emmaus story. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other and about all the things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the peoples, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered them up to be condemned to death and crucified them. But we had hoped that he was one of the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe that all the prophets, or slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And so they drew near the village to which they were going, and he acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent.' And so he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened up the scriptures to us?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were gathered with them. And they found the eleven and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' They told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." So I titled the message this morning, "Do Your Hearts Burn?" Have you guys ever been in a situation where you've been maybe at a sports event, a hockey game, baseball game, and you were watching and somebody came up to you and started chatting with you, and there was just something about him that you didn't really know, but something was just different? And then later on, maybe at a hockey game, you know, you get there and you realize they're on the ice, it's Connor McDavid that was talking to you, and you had no idea. But you just knew there was something different about him. Our passage this morning is sort of along the same way. And so Luke tells us about two disciples walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And at some point during that three-hour walk, Jesus encounters them there. There's a couple of interesting things that happen right at the beginning of this passage that set the stage for us. Verse 13 opens with "that very day." And now this is significant because the Emmaus narrative with the two disciples immediately follows the narrative of the empty tomb. Luke is making it clear that the encounter with Jesus on the road to Emmaus happened later on the same day that Jesus arose. Now I want to point out that there's an easy evangelism message here that pretty much just writes itself. But the road to Emmaus encounter is actually about believers, Jesus' disciples, and so this morning I'd like to focus the message on the believers sitting here in this church. An author typically writes narratives to tell the details of a historic event, but with Scripture, not only are narratives written as historic events, a snapshot in time, but they're also written with the intent that the circumstance the writer details has a present application in the lives of believers. And our passage this morning is a great narrative. The text tells about a time, a place, events that happened, all the proper pieces for a good historical account. However, that was then, and this is now, so how does this apply to us today? In the passage, the two disciples were walking along the road to Emmaus, but we in Leduc, we don't walk dirt roads in ancient Israel. But we do walk a road, and that road that we do walk along is the road of sanctification, a road intended to bring us closer to God. And what I want you to notice first is that while the disciples were walking, Luke says, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. In all of Scripture, God is the initiator. We see this over and over again in the Old Testament. God is the one who called Abraham. God is the one who initiates covenants. God is the one who called Israel as a chosen people. And we see Jesus as the initiator numerous times during his earthly ministry. He initiated the kingdom of heaven. He called the disciples, and etc. And we even profess this in our doctrine of salvation. God is always the initiator. And here on the road to Emmaus, we're told that Jesus himself drew near to them. The thing to remember here, brothers and sisters, is that even when we encounter Jesus, he is the initiator. Luke then makes a point of telling us that when Jesus drew near to them, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. How many of you caught that? Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And why do you think that was? Here's the risen Lord intentionally meeting with two of his disciples, and they were kept from recognizing him. Why? His disciples, his followers, on the day of his resurrection, were kept from recognizing him. We would expect Jesus to say, hey guys, I'm back, or ta-da, Mary was right. But instead, they were kept from recognizing him. Why? Verse 27 gives us that answer. Luke says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. The reason, congregation, that their eyes were kept from recognizing him is that Jesus wanted them to see him through the interpretation of the scriptures, not because they missed their dearly loved rabbi. And there's a lesson here for us. Jesus is telling us that he intentionally draws near to us through the exposition and interpretation of the scriptures. These two disciples were not allowed to recognize the risen Lord through their emotions. So often in our day and age, in many churches, it's implied that we need to encounter Jesus in some mystical way, in an emotional way, like we do our spouse or a dear friend. Many of our praise and worship songs talk about coming near to Jesus, but almost none of them tell us how or sometimes even why. Coming near Jesus is a romantic, emotional thing, and an action that the lyrics call us to do. However, according to our passage, it was encountering Christ in the teachings of Moses and the prophets, the scriptures, that Jesus wants the post-resurrection believers, us, to see him. And where are the scriptures opened us up to us today? Mostly in churches through the faithful preaching of the word. And this is important to remember because I think often we come to church out of tradition or habit, obligation, or maybe it's our chance to see some friends again or talk about our week. And not that those things are wrong in and of themselves, but according to the passage, they should not be our primary motivation. Through the preaching of the word on Sunday mornings, this is when Jesus draws near to us on the road to sanctification. And I want to remind you how Luke narrates the opening encounter. The verse says, Jesus himself. Luke puts extra emphasis on the intentionality and personal motivation of Jesus to engage the disciples on their journey. Not only does Jesus draw near to us as we walk the road to glory, but it's an intentional act on his behalf. It's not passive. Now let me ask this question. Is this how you feel when you come to church on Sundays? Is this what we're teaching our kids when they go to Sunday school? But how do we know that seeing Christ walk alongside us through faithful, Christ-centered exposition of the Scriptures is the right and godly way? Well, let me ask you this. Do your hearts burn when you hear faithful sermons? Do your hearts burn when who Jesus is, what he does, and what he requires from us is explained to you? Because that's what happened to those two disciples. After Jesus disappeared, verses 31 and 32 tell us, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight, and they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the Scriptures? See, beloved, having the Scriptures explained to them Christologically made their hearts burn within them. The Greek word used for burning is kiomene, and what it means is burning hot. It is not just a small smoldering fire, but a glowing, hot, full-fledged, raging inferno. How many of you have been to brush fires where you burn piles of deadfall, or have been to them? How hot are they? When they're full tilt, you can't get within 20 feet of them, and at their core, they're so bright you have to squint. This is what Luke means when he says their hearts burned within them. Do your hearts burn like this when the Bible is opened up? Is the Holy Spirit setting your hearts on fire in a way that consumes you? Do you want it to? But having our hearts burn within us has two parts. The first part is faithful preaching. Jesus talked with them as they went, which means that what Jesus had with them was a casual conversation. Preaching doesn't need to be eloquent or dynamic, although sermons like that are amazing when you hear them. But all sermons need to be focused on and centered around Christ. Not us, not politics, not social justice, but Christ. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, says, him, being Jesus, him we proclaim, warning everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Why? That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When Christ is opened up to us by faithful preaching, it should set our hearts on fire. Verse 31 of our text says, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is an absolutely pivotal moment in Luke's narrative. The Greek again gives us a clearer picture of what eyes were open means. The word is dianoigo, sorry. The word is dianoigo, and this literally means to open thoroughly, completely, and for the first time. Have you ever taken a bag of cereal out of the cereal box and opened it to an explosion of cereal? Or a bag of microwave popcorn? Once you've opened it that way, there's no possible way to close it again. Any of you that have kids, you know what I'm talking about. This is what Luke is telling us happened when Jesus explained himself through the Scriptures on the day that he rose to the two disciples. We know that their eyes being opened is a metaphor for their understanding, but have your eyes been opened? Has your mind exploded like the popcorn bag, and now you can never go back? And what's interesting about this verse is that the word dianoigo, which was used for opening up their eyes, is the same word that Luke uses in verse 32 when the disciples say, he opened to us the Scriptures. The Scriptures were opened up completely, which in turn opened up their minds, and because of this, their hearts burned inside them. Pastors must open up the Scriptures through the lens of Christ for believers' hearts to burn. And that's the first part. The first part is that the scriptures are open to us through Christ-centered preaching and teaching. And now the second part. And that is, we as believers need to come to church with the desire to see Christ in the scriptures. The disciples on the Emmaus road, they didn't tell Jesus, the stranger, to go away. They listened to him. And if we're willing to open up ourselves up to see Christ walking with us on the road to sanctification, then just like the disciples, our hearts will burn. This congregation is the way we encounter the resurrected Jesus. Not emotions, not lived experiences, but the divine word of God. And when we pray for the illumination of the Holy Spirit before the sermon, this is what we're praying for. The Holy Spirit acts on Sunday mornings in the same way Jesus did if the scriptures are faithfully opened up to us. But do we really pray for this? Jesus says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Is this not our heart posture? Or is this our heart posture when we prepare ourselves to hear a sermon on Sunday morning? How many sermons have we walked away from that we forgot 5 minutes after the sermon was over? I don't need to answer that, but on the flip side, all of us can remember sermons that did make our hearts burn within us. Sermons from years ago that opened our eyes to the risen Lord, walking with us on our journey of sanctification. Exhortations on Scripture that made our minds explode. All believers have felt this at times in their lives. And when our hearts burned, when they consumed the whole of our being, what did we do about it? What was the result of it? We're looking for a pastor right now. This should be on our minds when we listen to possible candidates. If our hearts ignite and burn with a consuming intensity, what should we do? The two disciples, after they recognized Jesus was with them and felt the burning in their heart, they did two things. They first talked about it amongst themselves, and then they immediately went to tell the other disciples. The beginning of verse 32 says, they said to each other. The first thing that happened was that both disciples felt their hearts burning. Burning hearts, beloved, are not just a personal thing. When hearts are on fire, it's corporate. And they immediately talked about it with each other. They were excited, and they were confirming that the other person was feeling the same thing. What do you do after the service? When your mind is opened and your heart is burning, do you talk about it to one another? Are you excited that others around you are engaged, or around you engaged Jesus just like you did? Then verse 33 to 35 tells us, "And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Quick note here, Luke mentions the breaking of bread just as a means by which the disciples recognized that it was Jesus who taught them. The two disciples, after their hearts burned and in their excitement, confirmed the burning was a real thing and rose that same hour. They couldn't wait to tell the other disciples. When was the last time you just had to tell other believers about what was opened up to you in the scriptures? Think about the miracles of Jesus in the Gospels. When the blind were healed, what did they do? Or when the lame walked, or lepers were cleansed, did they keep it to themselves? Did they go quietly back into their homes? No. They ran away, telling everyone what happened. Having the scriptures opened up before you with the heart to receive it does the same for your soul that happened to the people that Jesus healed. They could not contain their joy. The disciples, once they understood why their hearts burned because Jesus opened the scriptures up on the road to Emmaus, they did the same thing. They couldn't contain their excitement. Have you ever seen a fire with lots of wood on it subdued? No. Fire consumes as much wood as it can, as fast as it can, to burn as hot as it can. And this, beloved, is what should happen when a preacher opens the scriptures to us. showing us Christ, with our hearts ready to be set on fire by the Word of God. And even if the sermon you heard was a poor in your estimation, if it preached Christ, His gospel, His message of salvation, His will for our lives, the fire in your heart should be stoked. And if your heart was not stoked, was your heart in a posture to encounter Christ? If Christ was not the central part of the sermon, I dare say that your hearts would not burn. And I actually believe they could not burn. And that Christ was not preached faithfully among you. Is your heart, your soul, and your mind healed every Sunday morning to the point that you can do nothing else but leap and cry out for joy? Are you kindling and stoking that same fire in your kids? But if your hearts do burn, what should that mean for the church itself? Are we excited to be part of the ministries in our church? Does that burning make it so that you have to be a cadet counselor or a GEMS leader? Does your burning excite you to open the scriptures to our youth or teach them catechism so that they have the tools that will help them open the scriptures up for themselves? Or a Sunday school teacher, where the childlike faith and excitement that Jesus loves so much will become an inferno when the kids hear about Daniel, Elijah, Samson, and other heroes of the faith? Does your fire burn in care groups, women's ministry, and church life? Seniors, does your fire still burn? Do you remember the times in your life when your eyes were opened? Are you telling anyone? What about evangelism? Are we like the people Jesus healed, who could not help but tell everyone they met? What do you think this church could do for the kingdom of heaven if all our hearts burned when the scriptures were opened up to us? What do you think the life of this church, Ebenezer, would be like? Can you feel it? Do you long for the hearts of Ebenezer to burn? Brothers and sisters, every Sunday morning is an opportunity where the risen Lord, Jesus Christ, intentionally draws near to us as we walk the road of sanctification. It's when, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the scriptures are opened up fully to us. Do your hearts burn? Do your hearts burn like the two disciples? Because through the opening of the scriptures and being taught a fuller knowledge of Jesus Christ, His message of the kingdom, His death and resurrection, and who the triune God is more intimately, is being revealed to us each and every Lord's Day. Beloved, if we are truly saved, the scriptures explained through Christ must make our hearts burn. And it must make our hearts burn because this book is life. The person and work of Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. It's the only way to understand the Father, to understand with our hearts as well as our minds the Creator of the universe, the free will offering of salvation through Jesus Christ, and the future blessing of the believer should do nothing less than make our hearts burn. It should be our greatest desire on Sunday mornings to leave the service with our hearts burning rather than our ears tickled. Amen. Shall we pray? Spirit of the living God, draw alongside us every time the scriptures are opened. Stoke a fire within us that consumes us in a way that creates an inferno in Ebenezer that other believers will catch fire on and unbelievers are drawn to. Only you can do this among us. Amen.